For 50 years, one man has brought you the plain truth and let the chips fall where they may. And now, Garner Ted Armstrong.
Why is the easiest thing in the world something that has to do with the afterlife? Why is it that things in this life are so absolutely mind-boggling and difficult, such as trying to pay for the mortgage, trying to buy a new home, trying to buy and finance an automobile, maybe joining the military, trying to get into an academy, trying to send your kids to college, you know what that would cost. Things that are the stuff of political candidates' arguments trying to get your vote, such as Medicaid and Medicare and education and Social Security and all of those things, because so many people are desperately concerned about their day-to-day living, the cost of living, the increasing prices, all of the problems of keeping life and limb together for hundreds of thousands of Americans, veterans and older people who live in mobile homes, oftentimes on Social Security, who have a fixed income. Any inflationary pressures on that, of course, deplete what they've got. And of course, one of the big arguments today is about the high cost of all these medicines, prescription medicines that people need, apparently, as they get older. Why is life such a terrible, hard road to hoe when the next life is so easy? It is so easy. Matter of fact, if I had that little thing, it's in a desk drawer somewhere in one of my files. I should have thought to bring it, but there was a little tract some years ago where a pastor thought he'd really hit on a good idea. So it says at the top of one half of the page, "What must I do to receive salvation?" And in great big block letters, "Nothing." And then it gives you about four or five scriptures, one of which I'm going to give you in a moment. And then it said, "What must I do to be lost?" And it says, "Nothing." And then it just merely says that if you don't believe and don't accept the other thing, people say, "You've got to preach, come to the cross." Well, there are a lot of people who do that. Once in a while, as I am, like a lot of people do, I think, just surfing the television channels because I don't want to bother to get the TV guide and look up and see where we are. And I will stumble across some of these people that obviously are religious types that are preaching this and that and the other thing. How many thousands of different ways are there to say, "Believe on Jesus Christ and you shall be saved"? Whatever they are, it is endless, and it endlessly is repeated. It's the same story. Only believe and you shall be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You know, there is the cute little thing recently that kind of makes me think about this, because it was a farmer, a hog raiser. He wrote to the government, apparently. He said, "My neighbor down the street received a $1,000 check for not raising hogs. And," he said, "I would like to apply for not raising hogs. I would like to not raise, you tell me, whether Razorbacks or Yorkshires or some of the whatever kind of hogs I should not raise." And really, if he got $1,000 for not raising, say, about 500 hogs, I'd like to apply for not raising about, 4,000 hogs. And he went on up until he could get $80,000 a year. And he said, "I also understand you'll give out checks for not maybe milking your cattle, or for not raising wheat and not raising corn. And I'd like to go into the not raising wheat and the not raising corn business." Now, that apparently was real easy. All you had to do was to not raise hogs, tell the government about it, and they said, "Oh, you poor farmer," and they send you a check. That's about as easy as the way they portray salvation on some of these channels. I have something for you here I want to tell you about. A whole fistful of tapes, all three of them at once, believe it or not. We're getting real generous here, but we always are. We never do pay or ask people to pay for anything. We give it away free of charge. That's because there are those of the Intercontinental Church of God and those in support of the Garner Ted Evangelistic Association who help us pay the bills. We can give these away to the general public free of charge. This is about the book of Galatians, one of the most puzzling, enigmatic books in all of the Bible, with some statements in it that seem to say on surface, for example, Galatians 3:10, quote, "For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." I'll come back and talk about that later, because you may have missed something if I read it a little bit too rapidly. Galatians 1, Galatians 2, Galatians 3. This is a three-part series of sermons that I did before a live audience, each one approximately an hour in length, wading verse by verse through that puzzling book of Galatians, as to whether or not it does away with God's law. Now, also in addition to that, I want to give you a booklet, Saved by Grace, or Is There Something We Must Do to Enter Into the Kingdom of God? Absolutely free of charge. 3 one-hour sermon tapes, Galatians 1, 2, and 3. You don't need to remember the name. We'll tell the operators what we're telling you about today. And also, Saved by Grace, if you will dial 903-561-7070, you can have all three tapes, Galatians 1, 2, and 3, and the booklet, Saved by Grace, or Is There Something We Must Do to Enter the Kingdom of God, that I wrote not so long ago, free of charge, no price, if you dial 903-561-7070. I'll give you that address again several times during the course of the program, so you can be on the alert to grab a pen or a pencil and a piece of an envelope or a little piece of paper from somewhere and jot that down. You can also call during the business week, 9 to 5, from Monday through Friday, if the lines are busy, which they oftentimes are. A lot of people call in for that free literature. There was a little pamphlet some years ago that I picked up, and it was about Saved by Grace. And it quoted this following scripture, quote, Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," period, end of quotation. The man did not go on to quote verse 10 as a part of that passage, verses 8, 9, and 10. He only quoted verse 8. One of the worst cases of tunnel vision I've ever seen. The man just couldn't even see that if you read the entire thing in context, it is saying something utterly different than what he tried to make it appear that it is saying. Now, if grace, meaning a condition in which we abide, because that's what most people think, that isn't what it means. It is a quality of the character and the mercy of God. Grace merely means God's forgiveness toward us, which we don't deserve. It merely means our unmerited pardon, a condition of being forgiven for doing something very bad. Now, what is it we did that was so bad? Well, the carnal mind is enmity against God, it says. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, Romans 8 and verse 7. That's our natural, normal mind. We are, by our nature, recalcitrant, rebellious, deliberately bigoted and prejudiced, and we want our own way. We will guide our course. We will chart our course in life. We will make our own decisions. We are a sovereign individual. That's all fine, well, and good, unless it comes to laws and restrictions, oftentimes imposed upon us by the society in which we live. But then there are moral laws and spiritual principles way above and beyond any of the federal, state, county, and local laws that regulate our lives. Allegedly, it should be this way at least, except some anarchists disagree. If you break the laws of the country, you can be put in the slammer, and they give you a striped sunshine, and I guess they give you a little tray through the bars, and there you are for an interminable number of years. That isn't the way it usually works. Most criminals go free, but nevertheless, that is, in the ideal situation, what the nation would hope to achieve. That is to put criminals and those who break the law behind bars, or to fine them so severely they never do it again. We're accustomed to that. But that's all waived. That's out the window. I mean, that is gone. That is abrogated when it comes to God's law. The way the pastors in their hundreds of thousands tell it to us on Sunday morning television, when people are espousing their various doctrinal ideas and so on, is that there's nothing you must do. It's just grace. Well, here's what the gentleman tried to prove in the little booklet, that the Ten Commandments are done away. There is no law keeping, no obedience required whatsoever in the process called salvation, achieving salvation, meaning living forever. You got this life, which is supposed to be like the batting of an eyelash in all eternity, and it's a rough road to hoe. You've got to work your fingers to the bone. Most young couples have to have two jobs. We all know about that. I could go on and on for 4 hours and not even touch all the bases that are necessary and how rigorous and how difficult life is for the vast majority of most people who are not the super rich. This is the stuff of what politicians talk about all the time, isn't it? And we all know how difficult it is. This television program is reaching into tens of thousands of very poor homes, and oftentimes mobile homes and mobile home parks and so on, where people are living on a very rigorous fixed income. Those people write to me, they call, I understand and I know their circumstances because I talk to a lot of them in the course of the year, and I answer a lot of their letters in the course of a year. So this life, when it says, when it comes to putting your kids through school or college, when it comes to even buying your young lad a new bicycle when he turns 7 or 8, when it comes to buying school clothes for the children in the autumn, when it comes to purchasing gas at the outrageous prices right now, and the crisis, they're trying to make it into a crisis that appears to be threatening, because if we have a severely cold winter, a lot of people are worried very much about heating oil and natural gas, and about $37.50 or whatever, almost spiked to $40 a barrel the other day in crude oil, and that's another political football. So my point is, everything in life is hard. It's rigorous. They say that America is wonderland, the land of opportunity. And if you work, even politicians tell us this, you can get ahead. If you are willing to work, you can succeed. That word is anathema to preachers. You cannot be told by God Almighty and Jesus Christ His Son, or any minister wearing the cloth, about you must work. That is anathema. The government can tell you that. Your employer can tell you that. They can tell you that anywhere else in society. And all of your life, you know that it's work, sometimes drudgery, some kind of monotonous work, like on an assembly line, doing the same thing 8 hours a day, 7 hours a day, 40 or whatever, 35 hours a week, till it nearly bores you out of your skull. Life is difficult. But not in getting salvation. The other life, the afterlife, the life to come, that is as easy as a ballet dancer dancing on banana skins on a rolling greased log in a turgid pool, or a mill race rushing along at about 40 miles an hour over cataracts. How long do you think they're going to stay up? It is so easy, it's like falling off the proverbial log. It's a lot easier than any of the other problems we've got to face. Well, here's what that gentleman who wrote the little booklet about Saved by Grace did not read. Let's go back and read the entire thing together again. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 in context. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. Let me take time out to tell you what it means. It's obvious. Even the faith is not of yourselves. You cannot stir up, work up, just punch the right intellectual button and suddenly you've got faith. It says that even that is not of yourselves. It, that faith, is the gift of God. God has to call you. God has to give you the faith. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief, said one disciple to Jesus Christ. And he says we must have faith. By grace are you saved through faith. That merely means God's graciousness is extended toward you. He forgives you for something. Forgives you, pardons you for something. And you're saved through the belief in that fact, that the shed blood of Jesus Christ will atone for, there's that word, sin. I'll come to that again in a moment too. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now you can boast when you come home and say, look, Martha, look at, I got a raise today. You can boast about your paycheck. You can boast about your business acumen. You can boast about the money you made in a given year. You can boast if you had a good crop, worked hard, and got a good price for it. You can boast if you're a home builder and put in a couple of more units in the month and you got a little more money. You can tell your wife, I did it. I made it. I did it by dint of exertion and effort and inventiveness and creativity. I did it by hard work, and I succeeded. Fine. Great. We get the epaulets. We get the badges. We get all of the things that come along with it, like a better home and a double oven, an extra car, and a vacation to Hawaii. If we earn it, that's fine. But did you earn your citizenship? Did you earn your liberties? Did you earn your freedom? If you're a natural-born, free-born American, what did you do to ever deserve it or to earn it? I can show you a lot of military graveyards where there are hundreds of thousands of people who went out to earn it for you, but you didn't earn it. You didn't necessarily earn your citizenship. You have it. Could you lose it? Well, yes, by breaking the laws that could take it away from you, then you lose your freedoms. Now, go on and read the next verse, verse 10 of Ephesians 8. For Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. It doesn't mean take little or large steps. It means live in them, walk of life it's talking about. Look at it again. We are His workmanship. We are His creation. He made us. He is the maker of all things. And as a new creature in Christ, once we are baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, it says created in, meaning through, Christ Jesus, His sacrifice, for a purpose. What purpose? Unto good works, good efforts, good accomplishments, good deeds, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them, live in them. Is that doing away with good works? Quite the opposite. It's explaining that it's by the faith which God Himself gives us that we abide in a condition which is a condition of forgiveness because of God's mercy and God's loving grace and His pardon toward us because of something we've done that was pretty wrong in the past. When I come back, I'll explain a little more, but be sure to get your name on our mailing list for all three of these. Let's take a quick time out and give you a chance to get a pen or a pencil and jot down that mailing address, or better yet, the telephone number, and I'll be right back.
Is nothing required of mankind to receive salvation and eternal life? Request your free copy of Saved by Grace, or is there something we must do to enter the kingdom of God? Many seem confused by statements in the book of Galatians. For a thorough understanding, you may have this three-part audio series. The booklet and the tapes on Galatians are yours free of charge if you call 903-561-7070.
Millions of people think the law of God is done away. What's so bad about the law of God? Well, they don't tell you. What is wrong with thou shalt have no other gods before thee? Nothing. We're a monotheistic society. Other great religions believe in monotheism as well. I don't think there is any member of any one of the more than 400 Protestant denominations who takes issue with thou shalt have no other gods before thee. You shouldn't worship pagan Vishnu or Zeus or Mars or Venus or Asclepios or some other idiotic idea of some darkened pagan demented mind that didn't know what he or she was talking about, that created some kind of a god out of their own fertile imagination and carved it in a leering piece of rock or stone or made it into molten metal and bowed down to it and kissed its dumb brazen foot. But nobody takes issue with that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any images. Well, some people might take issue with that when they try to explain why they have them, but most people don't, and certainly most Protestants don't. When you get on to the rest of them, like honor your father and your mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, is there a church anywhere that takes issue with those commandments? No, there is not. There's only one, and to give you a hint, it's somewhere between the third and the fifth, that they take real issue with, and in order to get rid of that one, they want to just abolish them all. Now, if the law is done away, which you've been told all of your life, and which many people have been going to church for 44 years and they hear almost every single Sunday, then what in the world are these following scriptures doing in your Bible? Matthew 5:17, in the words of Christ, quote, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law." Uh-oh. Now, why do they think it then? They think He came to destroy the law. The very purpose for Christ being here, as far as you hear a lot of people preach it, is He came to do away with the law. He came to nail it to His cross so that you and I don't have to be under this horrible old law. What's horrible about honoring your parents? I know what they think in today's society. And you look at what you can normally see on the video tube from Hollywood these days, and you see the way a lot of kids act toward their parents, you would think no such law had ever been handed down anywhere at any time. That the exact opposite is what most people believe. Just call your parents egghead or dunderhead or a lot of worse epithets and do what you want to. But nevertheless, that is a commandment from God, and it carries the death penalty if we disobey it and break it, whether we're 5 years old or 50 years old, and our parents still alive, maybe approaching 90. He says, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets." We think it's all done away. Millions of people go off to church every single Sunday morning thinking the entire Old Testament is done away, and they just refer to a few little proof texts here and there, maybe a nice little psalm once in a while. You've seen the New Testament and the Psalms put together. A lot of people think that's the only part of the Old Testament that is fit to read. They certainly wouldn't want Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5 that contains the Ten Commandments. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is that doing in the Bible? They say, oh, Lord, Lord, bless you, Lord. But do they do the will of God the Father? What is that will? It's expressed in the Bible. Matthew 19:16-21. Behold, one came and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What an opportunity for Jesus. He could have patted him on the head and said, my dear child, who has made you think that you've got to do anything? He could have been like most of the pastors today. What must I do to be saved? Nothing. But instead he said, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 17, Matthew 19, your Bible. He saith which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Which commandments are those? And who has the gall, by the way, to demand of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the soon coming ruler of this world who is going to rule it with a rod of iron, who has the unmitigated gall to demand of him that unless he repeats every one of the ten, that by exclusion he is deliberately omitting them and saying those he has done away with? Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. He did not quote, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Was he doing away the obligation to worship but the one true God? You've got to be an idiot to argue that. He didn't say anything at all about thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness or of anything that is in heaven above or the earth beneath or the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You see, I remember that from my youth because we used to recite the Ten Commandments every time we went to church when I was a boy. Well, no, Jesus didn't quote that one either. He didn't quote, thou shalt not covet. So it's okay to lust and covet and just slaver over things that you see. Oh, I want that. I want him. I want her. I want that car. I want that Lexus. I want that Ferrari or Maserati. I want something else. Who has the unmitigated gall to claim it? Since Jesus obviously is quoting from the Ten Commandments and referring to them all, because he goes on to say, by the way, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, which is merely summarizing the last six, showing us how to love our neighbor, and summarizing the first four that shows us how to love God. The young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And Christ didn't get on his case and say, why were you doing that? You don't have to do that. I'm come to relieve that terrible burden. You don't have to honor your father and mother anymore. Instead, Jesus said, if you will be perfect, he offered him a discipleship. He said, if you will be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven above. And come and follow me. The young man went away shaking his head sadly, and Christ said, how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that was the lesson there. Well, there are many more. I'll come back if I have time. I want to quote a few more to you, and also one that most people will not quote in the average church service, which is the scripture that says, what is sin? Take a look at this and be sure to get all three tapes and the booklet, and I'll be right back.
Is nothing required of mankind to receive salvation and eternal life? Request your free copy of Saved by Grace, or Is There Something We Must Do to Enter the Kingdom of God? Many seem confused by statements in the book of Galatians. For a thorough understanding, you may have this three-part audio series. The booklet and the tapes on Galatians are yours free of charge if you call 903-561-7070.
What is it Christ came to save you from? He came to save you from sin. Everybody knows that, and they all preach it. Every one of these preachers that you see on television will say that Christ died to save sinners. I've seen that painted on barns and rooftops and old school buses. Christ died to save sinners. What is sin? 1 John 3:4 is the only place in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation that says sin is. You can almost put a colon there, and there's the definition. Here's what it says. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So Christ came to save us, what? In our sins or from our sins? Did he come to save us and pardon us for sins that are past or sins we expect to commit tomorrow? You need to deal with that. In the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, here are some more scriptures that really a lot of people wish weren't in the Bible, I imagine. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Now understand that. Shall we continue in lawbreaking? Let's say that we're professional bank robbers. Shall we continue on and on and on because we've done our time, the judge has been lenient, we originally had a 40-year sentence, he knocked it down to 5, we walk out free people, what are we? We've been forgiven now, we've been given a tremendous blessing because instead of doing our time, we don't have all those other 35 years to put behind bars, we can go free. What do? Go grab a machine gun and rob a bank? The judge has said go ahead and rob all the banks you want. The way people reason when it comes to theology is dumbfounding. It really is. It is just dumbfounding. And some of the stupidest, shallowest, most transparent arguments you can imagine are put forth by people who hate that law. And they won't say, yes, I hate the law. They'll argue, I love the law. Well, you know, when people say they love the law, it's just like some of the Pharisees to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he called hypocrites. Because if they loved the law, they would be keeping it. They would be obeying it. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? The law has claimed our life, and through Jesus Christ, the penalty has been paid so that we don't have to pay it. Shall we live any longer therein? Romans 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. And so that's the reason. The law is there to tell you what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. When God forgives you for having broken it, you're not supposed to break it anymore. Be sure to get all this material. It's absolutely free of charge. 3 tapes, Galatians 1, 2, and 3, preached 3 weeks in a row before a live audience, about 1 hour in length, each one painstakingly going word by word, line by line, verse by verse, through that very puzzling and enigmatic book of Galatians in the light of all these other scriptures. And also the booklet of Saved by Grace, or Is There Something We Must Do to Enter the Kingdom of God? Absolutely free of charge and no price. You can have all 3 of these tapes. I'd like to send out about 20, 30,000 of them. So be sure and call. And you can have yours in the mail very, very quickly on its way to you if you will dial 903-561-7070. 903-561-7070. And I'll see you right here same time next week.
Is nothing required of mankind to receive salvation and eternal life? Request your free copy of Saved by Grace, or Is There Something We Must Do to Enter the Kingdom of God? Many seem confused by statements in the book of Galatians. For a thorough understanding, you may have this 3-part audio series. The booklet and the tapes on Galatians are yours free of charge if you call 903-561-7070. As you can see, the work of Garner Ted Armstrong goes on. You may contact our offices at 903-561-7070. And thank you for your interest.